UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
And the show takes Pops by surprise again. As he's taking his time to get his headset out, which is undoubtedly tangled. Every day this happens, by the way. By the way, I want to give a shout out to our friends at Wing Zone. Thanks to Adam and his staff for dropping off Wing Zone catering to the studios. Try the ESPN Louisville special, 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink. I love those potato wedges. For $9.39, just mention ESPN. Good 7 days a week. It's the ESPN Louisville special. Just mention ESPN Louisville, and that deal is good 7 days a week. When it's this cold outside, stay at home and let Wing Zone bring their delicious wings to you. Wing Zone delivery is perfect for office lunches to game day parties. Order online at wingzone.com. Two Louisville locations, one in Hikes Point and Hess Lane, and another one near U of L. So because of all those wings, everyone was congregated in the back, which inevitably means Pops is talking to everybody.
No, that's not what it was.
And then
I'm trying to remember, who got up at 6 this morning to make it here in 20-degree temperature? You were here.
It's cold as balls here, too.
No, but who was in another city and had to get a cab and get to the airport and get here and... Oh, that's right. It was me. I forgot for a minute. It was me.
Yeah.
So calm down a bit.
Kudos to you for getting here. You got here at 11:30, plenty of time, considering you were traveling and everything like that. But then the show catches you by surprise, and you have to pee and make coffee and, you know, bitty and banter.
Here's
with the boys
tip.
In the back.
Before you play the music, see if I'm ready to go. You know, that's
signing a package for our checks.
Flight 1926, you're cleared
and
for takeoff.
And I do. No, you don't
and
get
the
plane.
And then they say, 1926, the pilot's not here. Well, screw it. He's cleared for takeoff, so might as well rev the engines up.
Because I do say that. I'm like, hey, music's playing. Hey,
you
ready?
Say them.
Here we go.
You start the music before you see if I'm ready. That's my point.
After I play like a 5-minute commercial break,
it's 12:03. The clock said it was 12:03. I'm usually not ready to go about till 12:06 because all the shows before us go right to 12 o'clock, and then
right.
they got to get
time
out.
They didn't do that.
Okay, well, that's their problem. By the way, why were you signing checks? We don't get paid today.
I don't know. They got
the
delivered.
Checks are here today.
Uh-huh.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
You sure about that 10 minutes?
I have no idea what I just signed.
You didn't sign for checks. They won't. We get paid tomorrow.
I have no idea what I just
we get
signed
paid tomorrow.
For. I really have no clue. No earthly idea.
We get paid tomorrow.
Maybe we got a holiday bonus or something.
Hey, by the way, did New York Mike say anything to you?
Why?
He left a winning ticket.
Oh, yeah.
So we have $100 to give to the V Foundation.
$5.
Yeah.
$5.
How nice was that? He played Baylor straight up, and that paid
$95. Yeah. He was here Tuesday. He dropped
it off
Tuesday. Yeah. No, I thought you meant like today. No. I haven't talked to Mike today. I'm going to call Dino Gaudio, though, because we're supposed to get him.
Let's do that right now. Dino's going to join us on a weekly basis. We're very excited about that. Very pleased. And one of the reasons he's agreed to do that is so that we can call attention to the fight against cancer. You know, Dino's a cancer survivor. Not many people know that. And so he's been nice enough to agree to join us on a weekly basis. And each time he does, told us to remind you about KFOV, Kentuckiana Friends of V. We're fighting that fight this year, making donations. 5 different grants we offered this year. Very excited about that. They're not huge grants, but they are contributing to some very, very good initiatives, and we hope and intend to make them grow as we go forward. It's a local arm of a group that raises money for the V Foundation, but also for initiatives right here in Kentuckiana. So check them out, kfov.org. We're going to have a big volunteer social coming up in January where if you want to get involved with us, you can, and we will certainly tell you more about that, and we will be ready to go. Man, are you loud in my headset there? Did you know that?
Here, play with the
Fairyland. No, now you're better. Jamie wouldn't have left me hanging like that. Thank you. Good job doing
Jamie also went
your job. Well, almost. I am doing my job. Everybody calm down, all right? Just everyone calm down, all right? I'm here. I'm talking. We're ready to go. We got a very special guest, Dino Gaudio. Hello, Dino Gaudio.
Hello, Coach B. How are you?
I'm okay, although, you know, you're nice enough to say you'll come on with us weekly, and unfortunately the first time we get to bring you on is after what was absolutely without question Louisville's worst game in New York, no doubt about that. So there were some things that we all could see just watching as it actually played out, but you always pick up some more things from watching the game film or the game tape or the game video, whatever they call it now. What'd you take away? What'd you guys see that you said, oh, my goodness, look at that. We really have got to shore that up. What'd you see?
You know what, Bob? I think the viewers saw it. The folks that watched it on television as well. Like, and when you watch the tape, it was indicative of that too. We shot the ball too fast in our first 13 possessions. Two were transition plays where we charged, but excluding those two, in our first 13 possessions, 10 of those 13 possessions were a one pass or two pass shot.
Wow.
And we told the kids we're shooting the ball too fast. Like, if we want to be good on offense, we can't shoot our way out of problems. We have to execute our way out of problems. And, you know, we need to have 5 and 6 pass possessions from an offensive perspective. We got to take the ball from one side of floor to the other, make them guard our, we're running a little variation of a motion offense this year, because when you have shooters like Wara and McMahon, you want to try to screen for those guys. Last year, we were a little more not knowing our personnel early. In the preseason, we were a little more ball screen oriented, but with those two guys, we're trying to set more screens. But, hey, give us a chance to set screens, and you guys come off the screens instead of, like, one pass shot. So that was the most glaring thing that we saw. And from a defensive perspective, we just absolutely, and our defense has been very solid throughout, but we absolutely cannot allow our offensive shortcomings affect us on the defensive side of the ball. And I think it did a little bit for us in that game, but that was the biggest takeaway, Bob. Our offense was ineffective because we were shooting it too fast, and we have to have a little more of a driving element to our offense because we're a good free throw shooting team. You know, albeit, you know, over 10 games, it's 71 or 70. It's actually 73 from the foul line, but we know we're better than that. We're a high 70. So let's get ourselves a chance to get to the free throw line by driving the ball and putting pressure on the defense from that side of the offense as well.
You know, this is worth a comment, though, because everything you say absolutely makes perfect sense. We've talked about all year when I'm doing your games, if you guys get even two ball reversals, how hard you are to defend. And you, there was a lot of possessions you didn't even get that in
absolutely.
New York.
Absolutely.
So, but having said that, their game plan was pretty good defensively. I mean, they were much better ball pressure than maybe other teams have showed you, and made it hard to get even the entry pass. I mean, sometimes the guys were catching the entry pass 32, 33 feet away, and it makes it hard to get the kind of ball movement you're used to. And that made some of the reads not so good. Like when you're trying to enter the ball from the top, when the postman was really the only guy that was doing damage, Steven especially, went to the top and you looked inside. Once they started getting at it, the wings started to fly in. Isn't that the time you want a ball fake to the middle and throw it to the wing and then have him look inside or maybe get a shot off? But that guy at the top just stood there and look, and then tried to throw it to a little window. That's not the kind of ball movement when you guys are playing well.
No, it's really not. And you hit the nail on the head. We talked a lot this morning when we watched the film with the team. Like, we want to catch the ball where we want to catch the ball.
Right.
If we want to catch the ball foul line extended on the wing, then you need to wedge in, seal your guy off, don't release until the ball's in the air or if it hits the floor. We allow that. And amazingly, you know, we face different teams throughout the year that have denied us and guarded us and handled it so much better than we did the other night. And you're right. They denied some entry passes. And then they just flock to the ball when it's in the air. They are a team that moves when the ball's in the air, and we're looking high-low. We got a pass fake into the post, and when they collapse on the pass fake, kick it out to the corner guys for shots. And we didn't do that either. And there's no question we got to do a better job on the offensive end of the floor. You know, we struggled the last couple of games. We shot 29 and 22, 29 from the field, 22 against Texas Tech. Pittsburgh was a little better. But even in the win over Michigan, we shot 37% from the field, 21 from threes. And right now, I think our biggest problem is on the offensive side of the ball, and that's something we need to rectify and get better before we move into EKU in Miami and the Christmas break.
My good friend Dino Gaudio, the assistant coach for Louisville, with us, helping us remind you about the cancer research being done at KFOV.org. Check that out. Dino's a cancer survivor himself, and we're delighted he's going to join us on a regular basis. Let me ask you, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, but my job is to try and ask the questions the fans would want asked. The guard play was particularly lacking last game, and Darius looked like he had one of his games where he just went back to what he used to do. He airballed a couple of shots, and he looked like he was sulky, pouty, and then Fresh came in and I think tried too hard to give you energy. He was over-penetrating, taking the ball into trouble, and then and Ryan made a couple of threes, but he had a hard time getting things going as well. And, you know, people ask, what about David Johnson? What about David Johnson? So what do you guys see with the backcourt, where they are? And I think, you know, not everybody plays, not every game. Michael Jordan, not every game was a Hall of Fame game, and they unfortunately all picked the same game to really have a struggle. But what are your thoughts? What are you guys talking about when it comes to your backcourt right now?
Yeah, there's no question. Darius really struggled the other night. You know, in 15 plus minutes, he had six turnovers. I think that's atypical of him. That's not who he's been for us thus far. And those two guys bring us different elements. And I'm talking Darius and Fresh, and I'll address David here in a minute. But, you know, Darius is an attacking guy, a point guard that can get buckets for you. But he has to play within the scope of what we're trying to do from an offensive perspective. And for the most part in transition, I've told him all along, when you're coming down on the break, two guys you better make sure you see if they're on the floor together, where they are on the floor, and that's Warren McMahon. So we need to find those guys quicker and easier in transition.
Yep.
And he struggled with that the other night. Fresh is a little more of a controlling point guard. He's not a jet with the ball. It has the speed that Darius has. And, hey, Bob, you know this. When your quarterback in football doesn't play well, and when your point guards in basketball aren't playing well, and trust me, those aren't the only guys. But when you're going to struggle to play well from an offensive perspective when those two guys aren't playing well. Now, Dave played about 7 minutes the other night, and we're trying to bring him along. David right now, when he starts guarding the ball a little bit better, his minutes are going to go up. And that's the challenge for him, and I think he's accepted that challenge. Like when we're given matchups sometimes, if I have the scout or the other guys, I think for a second and say, okay, who am I going to put him on?
Right.
Can he keep this guy in front of him? And he's capable of doing that. He's capable of keeping the ball in front of him. I just think making that transition from a high school senior to a freshman in college with all the time he missed in preseason when, you know, that's when we're doing all those fundamentals and closeout drills, and we're still doing them, but there was a larger time frame when we're spending more time on that aspect of the game in the preseason, and he missed all that. But I think he's getting it. He's capable of it. And, you know, right now it's a work in progress at that spot, and we're not going to let one game taint our thinking about this is the better guy. That's it. We're trying to get him all minutes and then move on from there. But, you know, they know. We watched the film this morning that we didn't get good play out of the point guard position, and we'll see how they respond and react and practice today. And if it's like we've had, you know, all the other post-game practices, they'll respond in the right way.
Dino Gaudio's with us here on the V Show on ESPN 680 1057. I don't get to a lot of your practices, but I happen to be at Sundays because I was interviewing Chris Mack for the national broadcast. So I happen to watch, and I'm not saying this to somehow like exonerate you guys. You don't need my defending, but I'm just saying that you'll see I'm going to lead to a question based on this. I watched you guys work on wing entry pass, you know, the various ways you can get the ball on the wing. You do that drill with a V cut, and then they reverse pivot, and they're catching the ball right where they want to. And then you had the other drill with a guy catches the ball and he's not allowed to dribble and they double team him and he's just supposed to pivot and get. So I mean, the point I'm making is you went over the things that were tailor-made for how you have to play against Texas Tech, and yet they didn't execute them that well. And the reason I bring that up is because I saw that in the other games too, and I'm wondering, Dino, you've been around the game a long time. Even though the Knicks have not been good for any of these kids' lifetimes, there's still something about playing in the Garden, I think. And guys get a little amped up. I mean, we start as Louisville started taking shots that they haven't normally taken. They were a little rushed. You talked about that. And I saw in the other game, I mean, even the Italian kid from Tech, I mean, Moretti, he hasn't missed a shot like all year, and he couldn't make anything. And so I think the Garden gets, you know, it's easy to say, but we forget they're kids, and this is still a big deal to play in the Garden.
No question, and it was it's a big stage. We're the number one team in the country. We're playing in Madison Square Garden. It's on ESPN1. It's on the big network. And heck, Bob, you're at our shoot around. We had 200 people at the shoot around from the TV people. So you'd like to think that that's not a factor. You know what I mean? And we talk about, hey, it's us. I don't care if we're playing outside on the asphalt floor court or something. But you know, I think it affected us a little bit. And shooting the basketball, and we're a really good shooting team. We did not shoot the ball there, as you mentioned. Davide Moretti was 4 for 15, 2 for 10 from threes, and he's a really good shooter. But, hey, listen, that's a good team we play. We talk a lot about they have a culture of winning and understanding what you do. Two years ago, that's a team that was in the Elite Eight. Last year, that's a team that was in the national championship game and played Virginia, too. You know, obviously a really close game. So, hey, we knew who we were playing. Our kids knew who we were playing. We just wish we would have played a little bit better. Hey, if they're good enough to beat us, so be it. Let's make sure that, you know, we're not beating ourselves with, and a lot of credit goes to Texas Tech, 19 turnovers, shooting 29% from the field and 22 from threes. We're better than that. We're better than that. And, Bob, I always say this, like when you're in a program and you take a program over, can you lose with these guys? And here's what that means, like can you lose with these guys? Like when you take over a program and you lose – how do those guys respond? Mm-hmm. Do they start pointing fingers? Right. Or do they, like, not my bad?
Right.
Or will they come to practice the right way? Are they going to take what was said in the film session? And you know what? Since we've been here, we've been able to lose with those guys. And what I mean by that is I know at 2 o'clock today they'll come ready to practice. I know they'll have the right attitude and they'll bring the right energy. Hey, what is our record? I believe, is it 9-1? I think it's 9-1. I know what it is.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's 9-1. Like they've always responded the right way after the wins and last year after the losses. I know that we can lose together with these guys and they'll respond the right way. And you know, we're on break now, and I come in the building this morning at 8:30. Three guys are shooting.
Wow.
I just went downstairs now. I'm going to pound the steel here in a little bit, Bob. I'm going to go get my weightlifting workout.
That'll make Andy happy.
Those 10-pound dumbbells better be free. I don't want anybody using them. But I go down there earlier before our call. There's three more guys in the gym. They love to be in a gym. They love to work. We'll get better with this group of kids.
Yeah, no, you hit on so many things that are important. I mean, this is basketball. It's not college football. Everybody gets beat. And unfortunately, one game has to be your worst, and that was unfortunately bad timing. But that was the worst Louisville played, and it doesn't mean it's a trend. But you made a good point, though, Dino, and I think that's, you know, I'm glad you brought it up. I mean, your defense has been so good. You beat two quality teams, but lost in that was the offense has kind of – gotten left behind a little bit. And even Chris said that to me after the pit win. He said, you know, some things have gone on that we probably could do better, but we've been making shots, so you forget about it. And we got to get away from that. You know, that it's fool's gold, as he called it, which is true. And so now you got to really start paying attention to, you know, some of the execution things that you were talking about. I'll tell you one thing, and I don't mean this as a Louisville observation. I just mean in general, Dino, but I know Chris brought this up too. That's why I think it's fair game to discuss. I don't think anybody knows how to run a fast break anymore. I swear. It's unbelievable. I watched the game after yours. If you got numbers, all people do is sprint to the rim. Everybody, it looks like an eight. You know, you ever watch eight-year-old kids where they all run after the ball? There's like four guys running within. You could drop a hula hoop around them. They're all running to the rim. And I'm thinking, a point you made earlier about Darius, sometimes going faster isn't better. Sometimes you got to pick your spot, get to space on the floor, and find somebody who can score. And, guys, for some reason, I don't know what it is, but they've lost the ability. I mean, I remember we were kids doing all those drills, the 3-on-2 drills, and stop at the foul line and throw, you know, all that stuff. But, it's a shame when you have 3-on-2 and 2-on-1, you don't even get a shot off. To me, that is really, that keeps you from putting runs together.
Bob, like I was talking about, like in the first 10 minutes of the game, we had two fast break opportunities and charged.
And three didn't even get a shot off. Right, exactly.
We charged.
Yep.
We charged and we talked a lot about, and listen, I always say this, telling isn't teaching. I could say to you, hey, listen, man, we got to land on 2 feet. They're going to take charges. I'm the biggest advocate of, like, you know, when I give clinics and stuff, I tell young coaches, like, telling isn't teaching. Don't tell me you told the kid something. We told him, but did we drill it?
Right.
We drilled for 2 days about how they fly to the ball and take charges in the half court, in transition, that when you have a break and that ball leaves your fingertips, you better land on 2 feet and stop. We pass and keep running. And two charges on the break, a couple other charges. You know, I don't know if the listeners will remember. The guy that did a great job for us in the half court, and it was Ryan McMahon, penetrated a couple times and landed on 2 feet.
Yeah, he did.
And kicked out a little bit. But, hey, Bob, I'm going to tell you, revisit and rewind in the break. I don't know if there's a college team in the country that spends more time on 3-on-2, 2-on-run drill that we used to do in middle school than us.
I know. Chris told me
to score. We go red team versus white team, and we're going to go 3-on-2, 2-on-1. Each team gets 7 possessions, and we turn it around, and we keep score. Losers on the line. We're running a 22. Up back, up back. I don't know if there's anybody in the country, because we do it every day. I mean, every day we do 3-on-2, 2-on-1, and it's got to transfer. We got to do a better job of that because we are leaving points on the floor when we have numerical advantages and not scoring the ball in those situations.
We have found that everybody can get beat. We know that. I mean, and get beat by teams that are, you know, not the brand name teams. You know, Duke lost in Cameron and Kentucky lost to Evansville. And so, I mean, my point is I don't want to discount playing in Eastern Kentucky or Miami, but you remember Fred Carter? You remember Mad Dog, don't you, Dino? Fred,
yes.
Mad Dog? Okay. He told me he worked for us at ESPN for a while, as you know, and he told me once that when he was in the NBA, he felt, I don't know how he came up with this number, Dino, why not 25 or 20, but he said after 22 games, you know who you are in the NBA. When you get to 22 games, that's who you are. And I said college basketball is a little harder because the NBA, the gap between, you know, levels of competition isn't as great. So I say probably after 8 games against, you know, Power 5 or so competition, you know who you are. And right now you've had Miami in the books and Pitt in the books and
Michigan
in the books.
Texas Tech.
So you got 4. Kentucky will be 5. I really believe it'll be 3 games into conference play before you can say with some certainty, okay, now I really know who we are. I really think that you still, in other words, it's still, you know, you still, I think the term I use on the show all the time, you still got to let the cake bake a little bit. You can't be 100% sure until you get to that point.
Yeah, no question. This is the first time we got punched in the mouth.
Right.
And what teams did to take stuff away from us. And Texas Tech did a great job, as you alluded to, denying our entry passes. Then they were switching our away screens, and we worked on, hey, on the switch, you got to look for the screener because they're going to jump out. And you know what else you have to do, Bob, is sometimes when we're running sets and we know they're going to switch, you have to, and listen to this, you have to screen your own man.
Yes.
Because your guy's the one that's going to switch out on Wara when he's coming out, or McMahon when he's coming out. You have to screen your own man.
Yep.
Until you live through those things, like you alluded to, eight high-level teams that you're competing against, before you can absorb that and make that a part of who you are and understand what you have to do, then I agree with you. And we're just not there yet. That's our first loss, but albeit no one here is happy how we played, and especially on a big stage. But we'll get better. We'll get better, and because we got a great group of kids, and they love to be in the gym, and we'll figure it all out. But we all know we're all disappointed, the kids more so than anybody, of how we played the other night.
You know, not to blow smoke up your skirt, but you guys collectively do a terrific job teaching. You really do. I said that when I left practice that day. I said, my God, this is a teaching staff. And I bring that up because that thing you talked about, I remembered you doing in practice that day, talking about, Chris actually was the one explaining it, and in the half court, what they're going to do on the screen and how you got to look for the screener. And I know the only guy I really saw do it well, and they wound up not giving him the ball, was Sam Williamson. He did a nice job. He looks like he tries to absorb everything you're teaching that kid.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's a great listener, and then he's able to, when you tell and drill, carry that over into five-on-five situations. And some guys have a difficult time of doing that, but he's one that could really do it. McMahon has a great feel for that. David Johnson has a good feel for that. David screened away the other night, and they switched, and he got the guy that switched onto him on his back, and he went chest the ball. And what I mean by chest the ball, he's looking right at the passer now, because he's really the first option on that, not the cutter. So,
right.
You know, as we experience those situations, and we try to simulate that in practice, but when it happens in the game, we'll get better at it. We'll carry over, and I think we'll be better for it.
Well, Dino, go lift those 10-pound dumbbells and get on the stairs, and I'll tell Andy, I'll vouch for Andy that you worked today so he doesn't think you took the day off. And I do appreciate you doing this. I'm looking forward to visiting with you throughout the season. I'll see you on Saturday, my friend.
Sounds good, Coach. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Right back at you. Thank you. Dino Gaudio. And that's nice. He's going to join us each week. Again, as a reminder, one of the reasons to help bring attention to all the aspects of cancer and research, early testing. Dino's a cancer survivor himself. And you can find out what we're doing with our organization here, the fight against cancer locally, kfov.org. Send us a message. Make a donation. We'll be happy to share with you where all the money's going, because we are thrilled. We're funding research and stuff at the James Graham Brown Cancer Center, at the Markey Center. We're doing it. There's a really great clinical trial that's going to start next year with the drug that specifically is earmarked for the type of cancer that Andy Kettler's son unfortunately had. And how great would that be if you can make a big breakthrough there? We're supporting Dickie V's Pediatric Cancer Research Initiative. And then we do fund some money for the V Foundation itself, because, my goodness, they have got some absolutely fantastic research minds that are doing some great work. And we want to give those men and women the resources to get done what it is they can get done. Every day, I picked up a paper today, and there is a new drug that they are really excited about. They put it in a clinical trial, I guess, and evidently if breast cancer metastasizes, that's when it becomes particularly difficult, especially if it metastasizes. Any cancer that gets to the brain is very difficult, and this evidently even can make a difference in that, which is a game changer. And it does that. And there's another one out there too. There was another for leukemia. Some fantastic test results for a new drug for leukemia. So listen, I don't want to turn this into a lab, but you know, it's not like you're just taking your money and throwing it in a black hole. Every day, the money goes and makes a difference. So you should know that. And we're delighted that Dino's going to join us in a regular basis. More, you know, and most importantly, we'll be talking about the Cards, but it gives us a chance to remind you about what we can do in the fight against cancer. KFOV.org. Check it out. We'll take a short break, and we'll roll along here on The V Show on ESPN 680-1057.
With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today. Delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.